Welcome to the Parent Show at 92.6.
Family life has its ups and downs, and at Neave Solicitors, we're here to help with all your legal matters. Whatever your circumstances, we know how to handle even the most delicate situations. Our experienced family law specialists offer friendly, sympathetic advice on everything from trust funds to property, from partnership breakdown to wills and probate. To arrange a free consultation, visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
A very warm welcome to the Parent Show tonight. I'm Cathy Weston.
And good evening, I'm Shirley Heyman.
Now, Shirley, what are we talking about tonight?
Okay, Cathy, tonight we're talking about parenting styles and their impact on our children's development. And we're hoping to sort of talk through a brief history of parenting styles. We're going to discuss the four main types of parenting styles. And we're hoping that the listeners tonight are going to decide maybe which one they kind of fit into. And also looking at the outcomes for the children, depending on the parenting style that we adopt.
That's right. So basically, in case you're wondering what a parenting style is, it's a sort of an outlook, Shirley, a framework, the way in which the values that you have, the way you would interpret your child's behaviour and the way you respond to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also strategies then that you then adopt.
Yeah. And so, I guess our point for doing the show tonight is we want to get parents thinking and reflecting on what their parenting style actually is. We know that there are lots of ways of sort of assessing which parenting style you have. And we've got a little test which we put up on our website. But also there's a link to it on our Facebook, which you can do right now. Mm. Just go to it and have a little check through the parenting style quiz and see which one you come out as.
Yeah, that would be great, because if you do that, then what we're talking about is going to make a bit more sense to you. Also, Cathy, should we introduce our other guest in the studio tonight?
Yes.
Joining us for tonight's discussion, we have a local, very experienced lady who is a good friend of mine too, and her name's Mavis, and Mavis has been involved with children for, Mavis, am I correct in saying, about 60 years?
Yes.
Yes.
60 years.
So, yeah, we have a lot to learn from this lady.
We could talk to Mavis all night. Let's face it. Thank you for coming, Mavis. Now, let's talk a little bit about the types of parenting styles, Shirley. We know that there are four main types.
Yeah, I mean, shall I just run through the four titles and then we could maybe pick them apart a bit?
So,
you know, first of all, and people can guess what this means, we've got authoritarian style of parenting. Almost at the other end of the spectrum, we would call it an indulgent style of parenting. And sometimes we like to say that that's also quite permissive. The other style of parenting is the uninvolved style, so people can guess what that means. And then the most preferred style, I guess, which has the best impact on children as they grow into adulthood, is the authoritative style of parenting. So we've got those four, really.
So those four types. Yeah. And there are lots of ways of assessing which parenting style you have. Lots of quizzes online. We've chosen a particular one published by Active Parenting. It's on our website and there's a link to it on our Facebook and Twitter. So you can find out what your parenting style is. The quiz, any quiz that tries to assess what parenting style you have is often divided into particular statements. So the quiz itself is divided into beliefs. So it'll ask questions like, it is better to give a little ground and protect the peace than stand firm and provoke a fight. And you have to say where you stand on that particular statement. The parent's role is like that of a teacher who's preparing the child for a final exam called life. So those sorts of statements will challenge your belief system and your values. And then there's another section about actions. So, for example, one of the statements is, when my child misbehaves, he or she usually knows what the consequences will be, or I often get angry and yell at my child. I mean, let's take that particular statement and how you respond to children in anger. Across those parenting styles, say, the authoritarian parent would do what, Shirley?
Well, an authoritarian parent, Cathy, is probably going to be, you know, very strict, very controlling, demanding, you know, quite unforgiving, I guess, if the child's
so they would be the one
up.
Who would be a little bit more, a bit stricter with children on the whole.
Yeah, you know, very high on control. And actually, they're kind of expecting obedience from the children. They just expect it.
Okay. Okay.
And often intervening quite frequently in the child's actions. And the other thing that comes up with that parent is that they often use emotional tactics to get control over their child.
Okay, so I think even if you haven't been parented by someone like that, or you're not a parent like that yourself, we all recognise that sort of character. So it's sort of very dictatorial, would you say?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's authoritarian. Yeah. Okay. And you also mentioned authoritative.
Yeah, so, you know, don't get the two mixed up because they're quite different. So the authoritative style of parenting is still quite high on control, but actually at the same time that parent's high on warmth and support for their child. So, you know, they'll set boundaries, but within those boundaries, the child's going to get quite a lot of freedom and choice. Okay. So, you know, it's quite a different style of parenting, Kathy.
Okay, so that might be there are lots of boundaries, still like the authoritarian parent.
Yeah.
But there's still warmth and affection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you also mentioned the sort of overindulgent, permissive parent.
Yeah, that's right.
Again, it's sort of self-explanatory, but how would you describe that kind of parenting?
I think that parent is maybe someone who's not setting any standards for the child's behaviour and really is kind of accepting whatever their child chooses to do, and they become tolerant of any type of behaviour. That parent also, Kathy, tends to shy away from conflict. And, you know, we all see it maybe in friends or relations, I don't know, but parents that just give in to their children's desires. The obvious example that I always like to quote is Veruca Salt from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, perfect example, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also, what was the last parenting style?
And then the other one was the uninvolved parent.
Right. So not really giving their child a lot of attention.
Yeah. You know, you might say, oh, my parenting style's really laid back. But, you know, I'd sort of question how laid back is it?
You can
even tip over really into sort of neglect sometimes with that parenting style.
Would you say that's akin to sort of lazy parenting? You know, you just can't really be bothered.
Yeah, lazy, but, you know, maybe there's reasons for lazy.
Okay. And I suppose the main reason why we're drawing attention to this particular theme tonight is because we know, I mean, Shirley, you've got a background in working with small children in the early years.
Yeah.
And I'm a criminologist by background. And I think between both of us, we've got an interest in this topic. We know that there is an optimal parenting style for children's well-being.
That's right.
Which would be which one?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? But, you know, it's obviously authoritative.
Yeah, so that would be setting boundaries, but still
but
having
giving some freedom within them.
Lots of warmth and affection and freedom within,
So and
giving children more independence, more choice.
Yeah, giving them, letting them feel like they've got some control, but actually we know where they've got control up and, you know, the boundary they've got control to. And in fact, when I was talking to Mavis in the week, that's exactly the style she's used for her children, you know, back in the 60s and the 70s. Mm-hmm. And we were discussing whether or not we thought people are still using that style. You know, we're seeing maybe more people using a slightly different style these days.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a moment. I think that the thing that parents need to know, certainly from my background in criminology, I know that we know that authoritarian parenting can often has a sort of there's a correlation between that and delinquency. Authoritarian parenting can also be coupled with physical punishment. But also as a criminologist, I would know that things like erratic parenting, inconsistent parenting is very damaging to children.
Absolutely, yeah.
And obviously not all these children end up in prison or in the criminal justice system, but there is a pattern amongst children who are caught up in the criminal justice net.
Right.
And they will very, very rarely have that authoritative warmth parenting model.
Okay.
So that's all I can contribute from criminology. So I think these different styles, and obviously mum and dad don't always have the same style.
Absolutely.
So there's quite a lot of, I mean, it's sort of potluck, really. I think in a lot of cases, if your partner happens to have the same parenting style, but obviously a lot comes from how they were parented.
That's true. And, you know, as parents of people that adopted a child, my husband and I were very much encouraged to talk about that and share those thoughts and explore that even before a child came along.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, that, you know, everyone else just has a child without any thought put into it, perhaps in terms of their value system, their beliefs, and how they would take action, the things that are challenged in that quiz. Now, we'd really like to bring Mavis in now. What we'd like to chat about now, based on your lady's experience, I would say between you, 60 years, Mavis, you've been working with children.
Yes.
I don't think anybody's going to beat that.
No.
That's So, you know, without further ado, let's have a chat about your experience of those parenting styles through the years. You've obviously looked after other people's children in addition to your own. And obviously, Shirley, you've been running a nursery school for 25 years. So goodness me, you have seen together so many different typologies of parent come through your door. So would both of you say that the parenting styles we've described and the outcomes for children are consistent with your observations through the years?
Yes, definitely.
So tell us, Mavis, which parenting style would you say you recognise from the children who came through your door, the ones that their parents may have adopted, and what outcomes would they have had for the children?
Well, I think starting off, I would be looking after them, and I was always an authoritative sort of person and always went along those lines. So I think looking after other people's children, they tend to copy me.
Right, right. So you're sort of modelling that approach.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Mavis looked after my daughter when she was, you know, sort of, well, less than a year, up to five, because I was working. And I learnt so much from her, Kathy, you know, yeah, because the style I received was authoritarian as a child myself. But that would have been, I guess, my instinct,
yeah,
you know, but actually Mavis taught me a completely different way. So
and I'm sure people listening, maybe they're thinking, gosh, what is that style? What does it look like in practice?
Yeah.
Can we have a few more sort of tangible examples of what authoritative parenting looks like in practice?
The first one I would always say was, when you say no, mean no and carry it through. If ever you had to concede on, or always give an explanation as to why you're conceding.
Okay, so just imagine the three-year-old is demanding his biscuit and you go, no, I've told you no. And then a few minutes later, if you concede, you know, you have to sort of say, I'm only giving you that biscuit because. Is that what you mean, Mavis?
Yes, yes, yes. But it wouldn't be a biscuit or anything like that. It would generally be something that they would be doing wrong.
Okay, sorry.
You know, yeah.
That's an example from my own life. Yeah. So something they're doing wrong, so they have it hit another child and you say no.
No, yes. Okay. And then explain why, you know, you mustn't do that sort of thing because it's dangerous, and always give an explanation for it.
Okay. And what about if they keep doing it?
You can distract them.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
distract them.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good tactic. Thing.
Yeah, I think that ability to be flexible and imaginative in how you respond, I mean, it's very hard, isn't it? Mm. But I think that, and you've probably got so much practice in it, and parents maybe don't have so much practice, but the ability to distract is quite an amazing skill. And I think perhaps authoritarian parenting is so strict, there's no flexibility in their approach. Mm. You haven't done as I said.
Yeah.
You get the punishment.
Yeah.
So there's no sort of distracting, because all children are inclined to behave in a particular way, you know, and try and have their own way.
They'll always try, yes.
Yeah, they'll always try. So it's how we respond to it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think, Kathy, you know, you need sort of a certain amount of confidence and self-belief if you're going to go down that distracting route. And energy, of course, you know, because sometimes, like, I was thinking of a little girl who's three, and her mum was telling me that she doesn't like going to bed at night. So she would try and sit on the stairs and look down into the mum and dad's lounge rather than go to bed. But the parent, this mum, was amazing. And she took her back, she told me, 7 times in 35 minutes, despite the screaming and the crying and the protesting. But the mum was able to keep it really calm, and just eventually that little girl went to sleep. Because we know sleeping's a big issue, don't we? We've done shows on that before. But yeah. You know, but that mum was not afraid to have some kind of conflict, but she kept it calm and, you know, she kept going up and down those stairs.
Now, I think confidence is a very, to me, the authoritative warmth model is the confident model.
Yeah.
Have you both in your practice, if you like, as practitioners, have you found that the mums or dads who adopt the other parenting styles are lacking confidence and need your support more?
Yes, very often. I can't really remember specifically any particular person.
Yeah.
But it did help to give them advice.
Mm.
If they would accept it, that
if
is.
If they would accept it, this is right, yeah. And surely, goodness me, you must have, I mean, you deal with parents every day in your practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, you can be particularly confident in your skills, I don't know, you know, being a lawyer or whatever you do, being a vet, but actually looking after a little person under five is such a different ball game, and it can be so challenging. And, you know, there's a friend of mine that's recently had a baby, having looked after children for 20 years. And I have no doubt that she's got so many now experiences and, you know, little, what I was going to say, tools in her toolkit to draw upon now as she starts to parent. Yeah. And she seems so confident and she seems so calm.
Yeah, fantastic. Because yeah. She's been through it all. You know,
she's done it with, you know, hundreds of other children. So she's had that privilege. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, what about other experiences, tangible experiences from practice, Shirley, that you could share?
There was one I wanted to share with people about the authoritarian style of parenting, and I just find this quite sad. Really, it was a father who decided that he didn't want his daughter to go to the secondary school that she'd chosen. You know, they looked round together, they filled in the forms, but that night before he sent it off, he opened it up and he changed it to be a different school. He never told his daughter. So you can imagine, Kathy, when the choices came through, she got her first choice, but it wasn't what she was expecting. And you know, it wasn't till quite a bit later that he revealed that. However, this sort of strong-willed 11-year-old made sure that she was expelled before the end of the first year, and then she got into the school she wanted to go to. So, you know, it didn't work for that parent.
I mean, in your experience, both of your experiences, is there a correlation between the behaviour of the child? I mean, I only have the extreme example from criminal justice world, but between behaviour and parenting style? Child's behaviour.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think the behaviour can sometimes be a response to the parenting style. Do you think that,
yes,
Mavis?
Yes, I agree entirely on that.
So if mum and dad are very, very strict and controlling, when they get to a nursery setting or your child, your home, Mavis, do they react to that? They have the freedom?
Absolutely, yeah. And they're, you know, sometimes they find it really hard to cope with.
92.6 FM.
And welcome back to The Parent Show. We're talking tonight about parenting styles, of course. Basically, we've gone through the four different types of parenting style. We've been talking to Mavis and Shirley Hyman about their practice, about their experiencing of parenting styles, and also how different types of styles impact on children, on their behaviour and the general outcome. Now, I think one of the important things that we've just been chatting about in the break is the sort of evolution of parenting styles over the years, Shirley. Mm. And I think these days parents are often accused of being either far too permissive.
Yeah.
You know, we're all controlled by our children.
Yeah.
They do far too much, too many extracurricular activities, etc. When really we should be a lot more, a little stricter. But then there's another extreme where they say we're all sort of tiger parents and we need to calm down. Mm. Would you agree with those sort of, is that your experience of working in the nursery for all that time, that parents either exhibit one or the other?
I think they're the parents that stand out the most, Kathy, to be honest, you know, the two extremes. And obviously you're always going to have people in the middle, and they're the ones that maybe don't take up so much time, or you know, you're not attracted to them because they are just getting on with it calmly and with confidence. But I mean, this is one of the stories I wanted to share about some children that I knew. The parents were quite uninvolved, really. So, you know, we're not the kind of parenting necessarily we're talking about. But they weren't allowing their children to do everything they wanted to. But these parents were so exhausted, Kathy, that we had this 3-year-old who gets up on Sunday morning, you know, wants to play, wants to eat. But mum and dad are really tired, so they don't get up and they're upstairs in bed. So the 6-year-old sister came down and she tried to cook breakfast for her 3-year-old. Sibling, you know, by getting the knife out and trying to light the gas.
Yeah.
And so while the substitute mummy was doing that, the 3-year-old that I knew got a lovely black marker pen and went and coloured in the green velvet curtains. You know, we want to laugh, but actually I feel quite sorry for those two little ones. But, you know, there's reasons I can I'm not going to go into why mum and dad were fast asleep in bed, but nevertheless, you know.
Do you think, I mean, we want to bring Mavis in here.
Yeah.
Obviously, times have changed, Mavis, and mum and dad, maybe mum works now when she didn't work in previous years. There's lots of changes, economic changes, societal changes that you've obviously witnessed over the 60 years you've been minding children. What would you say the main changes are that have contributed to those different parenting styles?
The main thing, I think, is that far more money is available. Mm. And children do tend to control and get a lot more pocket money, which is, and they can spend on what they like. Other than that, I think it is mainly financial that has made the greatest difference. When I started, we was very, very poor. And also, I've noticed that in also the way they eat, children eat. Mm. We never, ever had choices or gave our children choices. We were always very firm and always had whatever meal was put in front of them. And the nursery that I worked at, where it was quite a
sort of poor area, wasn't it?
I don't think we ever, ever had waste. So, you know, if a child's hungry, they will eat. And I think today that is one of the troubles, that they are given choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, I can come from, here we are, you know, 60 years on, and the nursery that I'm involved in, there's waste every single day. I don't know how many half-eaten bananas I threw away today, and, you know, biscuits and expensive blueberries. So, yeah, interesting, Mavis, that you say that. Mavis, how did you parent your own? Because you've got four children, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And they're aged sort of, well, they're grown up now,
they're
obviously.
Grown up now,
in their 40s.
They're in their 40s.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, sort of, you and your husband, how did you parent your children then?
Well, as I said before, no meant no.
Right.
And children always had to put their toys away at the end of the day. There was always paint, water and sand available in the garden and part of the garden available for digging. And I never worried about their clothes getting dirty. Mm. My husband nearly always bathed them and told them a bedtime story, which he mostly made up. I can tell you they were really involved at times.
Yeah.
And they were allowed 15 minutes to read in bed if they wanted to. They did all the jobs, always did jobs to earn their pocket money, such as wiping up, dusting, hoovering. And this continued until they got jobs of their own. They were never given money for not doing anything.
Yeah, that's refreshing. and I was just wondering, Mavis, as well, you mentioned to me that you felt, you know, bringing up your own children, but then childminding others, there was a completely different slant, wasn't there, on what was important. I mean, what was most important for you when you were, say, looking after my daughter for all those years?
Well, you have to be aware that you are looking after someone's most precious gift.
Mm.
And being responsible and keeping them safe is paramount. My own children were allowed much more freedom, and I didn't worry if they climbed trees, raced their bikes, but with someone else's child, I was always much, much more aware of the dangers and much more cautious.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think I would agree, you know, working in a nursery as well, safety is always number one, you know. Actually, Mavis, you know, one thing we did ask you to think about, and I was interested when you talked about this to me the other day, that, you know, if you had to give five tips to help parents today to care for, you know, little 0 to 5 year olds, from all your years of experience, what are you going to tell us to do?
The first one will be, children like a routine, so try and stick to one.
Right.
Be very fair but firm.
Okay.
And the third one is limit TV or electronic games and encourage them to look at books. This way their own imagination comes into play much more.
Yeah.
And as parents, when chastising your child, never contradict the other in front of your child, even though you might not agree with what they're saying. And once a child recognises this, they will play one against the other.
Definitely, yeah. And then what was your fifth one?
And which, my fifth,
for me,
one was,
I feel very strong about, strongly about.
Yes, is ask not how well he or she is doing, but how happy and content they are.
Right.
So is that a dig at us parents who come in and say, what did she do today? Yeah. Instead of, does she seem happy?
Yeah.
But we've definitely had a slap on the wrists there. I have to say, you know, Oliver James was on our show.
Yes.
And we did a sort of a public event with him. Oliver James,
that's
the
right.
Author of Love Bombing. He's a clinical psychologist and he writes a lot about parenting styles in his book, How to F asterisks, 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 K them up. How not to F asterisks, 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 K them up. And he says in that it's very, very important for parents to know your own experience, reflect on your own childhood experience. Shirley, what's the connection, do you think, between childhood experience and the way you parent?
You know, I think it's just sort of almost your default position. So I can sometimes hear myself talking to my daughter like my father spoke to me, but I'm trying to be sort of conscious of that and stop it. And I think you have experienced that, Kathy, too,
I'm
haven't you?
I guess it's like the confessional. Father, forgive me, for I shouted at my six-year-old for not knowing a seven times table. And I think when I think you understand what that default position is. You know, I remember being young and not liking maths and sort of having tears in my eyes, not knowing the sums, and my dad being quite strict about it. And I found myself having the same tone, the same voice with my six-year-old who had tears in his eyes. And I thought, wait a minute. I think reflection is where you draw back and you think, why am I? Oh, this has been modelled to me. And, but then you can change it, and you change it by saying, you know, I said to him, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And it's not fair. And don't. And you do the things that maybe, you know, didn't happen for yourself in that moment.
Yeah.
So you bring yourself into it, and you just reflection is the greatest weapon against repeating patterns, really.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head, Kathy, when you said in that moment. I asked Mavis the other day, you know, would you change anything now, Mavis, you know, years on? To which she said to me, well, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But actually, no, it's about doing it in that moment, reflecting. You know, we'd encourage people to do that now. Reflect while you're parenting now. Don't wait until your children are 40 and then reflect.
Yeah, I think as well, Oliver James suggests in his book, don't be shy about asking for help.
No, that's right.
You know, all of us will have a default position.
Absolutely.
About so many different things, as will our partners. And I think that you can still ask the nursery teacher, can't you, Shirley? I find myself being very quick to anger, and I don't know how to manage, you know, asking for techniques or ways of managing a child's behaviour or a way of responding that's a bit more positive.
I mean, that's what certainly part of our remit is these days, is to work with the parents. You know, we have this phrase, partnership working. And the other thing, in case you don't know, mums and dads out there, but, you know, the government's put a lot of money into children's centres. And they're there in every town. I think, you know, for example, Harpenden, I think it's got at least three. St Albans must have, what, about four or five, Kathy?
Yeah, I think it's got two.
Has it?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. I thought there were at least. Anyway, you know, they're out there and there's people waiting to help you, waiting to support you, waiting to get you involved in things, to give you tips, to run courses. And a lot of it is completely free. So, you know, go
That's
looking
right.
for
There's
that.
There's parenting courses. I mean, I've been on one for boys. They do a specialist one in the children's centre if you've got boys, for example. But you learn tips and techniques of things that might, just suggestions of ways of inserting routine into your child's life, or ways of managing. It's just a more creative ways of managing things. One of the things I actually remember from that course, which is hilarious, one of the few things that really stuck with me, is the need for families to set aside mum time or dad time.
Right.
So at the end of that course, I remember the mums had agreed with their partners, they were able to negotiate it, that they would have 20 minutes when dad came home just to sit in a lovely room in the house, and no one was allowed in. And I thought that was a lovely technique, just to calm down.
Oh, you mean the dad gets 20 minutes by himself?
Well, whoever comes home from work, this was for the partner who was at home, that you would have a little bit of time and space to yourself.
Yeah.
So I think I remembered that, funnily enough.
Did you?
So also, I think we want to just, on that point about reflection, Shirley, what would you say about reflection? You know, it's important to reflect, isn't it? Because without reflection, what happens? Your patterns just get repeated, don't they?
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, without reflection, you know, we can lose confidence. We can get stuck in our ways. We just can go around in a rut. We start to think that we can't do it anymore. So it's so important to reflect. But I think, you know, a culture of reflection, you can't always do it by yourself. In fact, you're so much better doing it with other people. So other parents, you know, professionals out there that can help you. Or, you know, for me, someone like my friend sitting next to me here, Mavis, who is able to put a real sort of grounded view about this is fine, you know, think about tweaking that. It's okay to say you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think using having a friend, a critical friend,
yes,
is great. And I think all of us have a friend whose children might be a little bit older. Who I have one who I always refer to because I think she knows what the future looks like, you know, and you,
yes,
can say, gosh, have you got any tips on this or that? And I think that's what we do all the time, is ask for that sort of peer help.
Yeah, and one of my friends said to me recently, and I love this, Shirley, your daughter is not the finished article. You know, and I mean, I love her now in the moment, but you know, we need to remember that these people, I mean, I as a daughter am not the finished article yet.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
no, neither you, Kathy, nice. I guess.
Yes, gosh, work in progress. I think that, would you say as well, it's nice for parents to hear a compliment if they do something well? I mean, none of us really receive or give friends compliments,
no,
when they do something very well, and I think we need to do more of that for each other.
Yeah, I mean, praise works amazingly well with children, but it also works amazingly well with adults.
Really?
And, yeah, you know, I think sometimes when people are looking for attention, actually what they're really wanting is some feedback, isn't it? And then potentially a little bit of praise. So, I mean, what do you think, Mavis? Do you think parents need to be praised for what they do?
I have never felt that you need to be praised. I
right.
just think it's just one of those things that you do automatically, and that
right, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, and that you don't really, why should you need praise for everything okay. that you do?
You mean as a parent, Mavis?
As a parent or as on
yeah
yes
yeah
it's just that is nature, that is your job, to bring up a child.
Okay.
I think a big difference from the past might be, I'm always banging on about this, but many, many people, especially in St Albans and Harpenden, don't live anywhere near family. If you don't live near mum, dad, auntie, anybody, you have no one to give you advice. You've got no one to say that child needs to go to bed now, or give yourself, you know, you literally have no one wise like you, Mavis, to give us some tips or to give us that loving feedback. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it is a bit trickier because we're all sort of on our own a lot of the time and just sort of hoping to goodness we're doing it well.
Yes, I agree with that. Most people these days are far away from parents. When I grew up, there was aunts round the corner and always someone else to take care of the children. Whereas today, you have to find somebody elsewhere, like in the nursery. Yes, I think you're completely right there about carrying on, people needing someone else to advise them.
Just to have that kind of help and support. And as you mentioned, Shirley, the children's centres are there for people. Mm. You don't have to pay for this help and support.
No. I mean, the government's put money into it, so why not use it?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the questions, Kathy, I just wanted to, it was a bit cheeky really, but I just wondered, Mavis, whether you wanted to sort of comment on anything that you see parents maybe getting wrong today, in your opinion.
Go on, Mavis, now's your chance to tell us how...
The main thing is that saying no and not following it through.
Okay.
And also asking what they'd like to eat instead of just providing a meal. And comparing their child with others and trying to ensure their child is the same or better.
Mm.
Each child is different and progresses in different ways and at different times. So I don't think there's any need to worry that they're not going to progress in any way.
Okay, you've heard it all in the Parents Show tonight. There's nothing else to know, isn't it? You just follow that advice and your kids will be great.
The Community's Voice. We're Radio Verulam.
Welcome back to the Parent Show. Now, we're hoping we've got Lindsay Adams on the phone. Are you there, Lindsay?
Hi there, Catherine.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Very well. Now, you're not calling from Scotland, somewhere a lot closer to home.
No, definitely in St Albans.
Now, tell us, what are the children in Class 1 at Sandridge School doing?
Well, really what we're trying to do for each class in Sandridge is hold little events to raise money for each class. Now, Class 1 in particular are hoping to raise money for much-needed equipment to carry on forestry work that's already happening in the community in Sandridge.
Okay, and would that be for the children to do or adults?
It's for the children.
So the children are going to be carrying out their own forestry work?
Yes.
Fantastic.
They've been out and about. They've already been doing quite a lot. And their teacher, Mrs. Moscardini, has already been teaching them how to whittle wood, which they really enjoy. And they've been doing really well.
And they've got the lovely Hartwood Forest to do their forestry in.
Really, really lucky in Sandridge to have that right on our doorstep. So this will be part of the fundraising. You know, we can go out into Hartwood Forest and use that.
So what are the things the children have come up with to raise the money?
Well, there's been lots of ideas put together, one of which has actually been the idea that we wanted to speak to you about this evening. It's called Cash for Coins. Now, this basically means that a lot of people, you know, travel all over the world and come back and have excess change from any country, sort of in a pot somewhere. I'm sure we all do it. And really, you know, what we wanted to do was change that money. There is a company who can change the money into funds for this charity for, you know, the school, and it can be put towards equipment that we need.
Brilliant, and it's so easy for kids. Kids love coins and they love gathering them up, don't they?
Well, this is just that we have set a little incentive in place. So the class that fills up the biggest milk bottle with the most coins will also win a prize of little cupcakes that are made. So there's incentive for them, but also the incentive really is that this money that's raised for them will benefit the whole school really in general, not just Class 1. These pieces of equipment can be used for years to come throughout the school.
Brilliant. So Class 1 in Sandridge want all your worldwide current currency in notes or coins and any of the older currency. So you're also looking for German marks, Spanish pesetas, old UK shillings, old UK decimal coins. Mm-hmm. So you might end up with half crowns and everything.
We're going for sort of old farthings, pennies, etc. So it can be sort of like Scottish money, it can be Irish money, Channel Islands, Isle of Man. It covers everything.
Lovely. So how do people in the community get those coins to you if they want to help?
Well, basically they could give our school, Sandridge School, a contact, and we can send them the necessary paperwork, and they can then send that forward to us, and we would pass that on to the company themselves.
Brilliant. Okay, well, let's hope everybody joins in the initiative. It sounds fantastic. The children must be... What would you say, Shirley? Doesn't that sound like a great initiative?
I think it sounds great. Yeah, brilliant. I mean,
they're raising the funds themselves and they're going to be using the tools themselves, so that's fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, well, look, thank you very much for joining us on the Parents Show, Lindsay, and all the very best with the initiative.
Thank you. That's lovely. Thanks very much.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parents Show. The friendly team at Neave's include specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neave's Solicitors, your complete legal solution.